So the Dhamma for today is called the Chatchaka, the six sets of six from the Chatchaka Sutta, Majjhima Nikaya 148. To appreciate this teaching, you have to understand two things about the Buddha's teaching. The first is that the Buddha's teaching is experiential, which means that the Buddha's teaching does not focus on entities, people, places, things, self or a soul, a being. The Buddha's teaching describes reality as experiences. The experiences in and of themselves are the essence of reality, not a person who experiences or the experiencing of people or of things. It's the experience itself. The second thing is that Buddhism is a practical teaching. So to truly appreciate his teachings, you have to approach them empirically. You have to practice them. You have to see them for yourself. Otherwise, many of the Buddha's essential core teachings seem rather banal or uninteresting, simple. But the truth is that the essence of reality is quite simple. And more importantly, the simplicity of reality is what allows us, or the experience of reality as a simple thing is what allows us to find freedom from suffering. That a great deal of the problem that leads us to suffering is our complication of something so simple. So the Chatchataka, the six sets of six, are one very good way of describing reality and simplifying reality, bringing it down to its bare minimum. The first set of six are, unsurprisingly, the six senses, the six internal sense bases. The six senses form the basis of reality in Buddhism, or one way of describing the basis of reality. Everything that exists is based on these six things: the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the heart, or the mind. These six are our doors to perception, or they are the bases of experience. There's nothing outside of them. There is no being that experiences. There is really only the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind as the basis of experience. So I want to start off by suggesting that we take a moment to reflect on each set of sixes. So this first one, we can take a moment for each of the bases. The eye is a basis of reality. We can pay attention to our eye, which takes in everything that is seen. And then there's the ear for everything that is heard. We can take a moment to appreciate the totality that is hearing, that hearing is its own, seeing is its own realm, and hearing is its own realm. You don't see the things you hear or hear the things you see. The nose is its own realm. It takes in everything that is smelt. The tongue is its own realm for everything that is tasted. The body for everything that is felt. And the mind for everything that is thought. You can see that clearly this is the extent of everything. But you can see this only through practice, through paying attention. If we sit here and we pay attention to these six things, we'll see that this is the totality of existence. Everything touches the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, or the mind. The second set of six is the external sense bases. So there's clearly something missing. If we just talk about the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind, we can't even talk about them without talking about their counterpart, their external counterpart. And that is sights and sounds and smells and tastes and feelings and thoughts. So we can take a moment to appreciate that what we see is not people or places or things. If you pay attention at the eye, you'll see that what is seen is just seeing. What is seen is just sights, light touching the eye. This comes before the mind processes it and turns it into people and places and things. We pay attention at the ear, we'll see that the only thing that comes into the ear is sounds. So in fact, the only thing that exists in reality is things like sights and sounds. Pay attention at the ear, you'll see the mind processing the sounds, but in the end, the things that it processes are only sounds. Smells at the nose. Take a moment, you can experience the subtle smells in the air, any tastes on the tongue, the feelings on the body, hardness, softness, stiffness, heat, cold. These are real, and they're the extent of what's real. They're real, and we know they're real because, well, we can experience them. They're directly perceivable. It doesn't require instruments. It doesn't require extrapolation or conjecture. This is the only things that we can directly verify as being real. We can't say that what we see is real. Maybe it's a mirage, but we can't say that seeing is not seeing. Even with your eyes closed, the things that you see, it's still seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, and thinking. You can notice that the only thing that goes on in our minds is all thoughts. Now we might have ideas about the thoughts as good or bad, right or wrong. We might have theories and conjectures about reality, but all of these things are in the end only thoughts, and no matter what our theory of reality is, the reality is all those theories are just thinking. Just mental dhamma ramana or dhamma yatana, the base of mental activity. The third, but so with these two, we're still missing something. We're missing the third is the crucial, most, the third crucial part that's required is consciousness. You can have the eye and you can have sights, light. But a dead person, a dead body has these things as well. And what the dead body is missing is the vijnana, the consciousness. Consciousness is the third set that is required for completion, to understand reality. So we can take a moment to appreciate that consciousness is not in fact one thing that goes to see this or hear that. Consciousness is the aspect of experience that arises at the moment of seeing, at the moment of hearing. We can notice that there is consciousness. In the practice of mindfulness, we come to be aware of the arising of consciousness, one after the other, rapidly seeing and then hearing and then smelling and tasting back and forth, sometimes feeling, sometimes thinking, sometimes at one or another of the sense bases. These three things constitute the essence of all experience, and it's complete to an extent just talking about these three. These are the three aspects of reality, the internal, the external, and the consciousness. But there's still three more things to talk about. For full completion and for value, to make this a valuable teaching and profitable teaching for the cultivation of mindfulness and wisdom and understanding and freedom from suffering. The fourth is something called passa, which is contact. Now, contact is kind of assumed. When you talk about the sense bases and consciousness, you assume that they are in contact. But what's valuable to appreciate here is that it's only on contact that experience comes about. Meaning we're not always seeing, we're not always hearing. If you take a moment, you can notice how sitting here, the mind is in contact or arises in conjunction, connected with the eye and the sights. And then there's consciousness that's connected with the ear. This is contact. You can't see things without this contact. There's, at least without the imagination in the mind. They only arise on the instant. In the instant that they arise is when they exist. They don't exist somewhere in reality. For example, the things that we see don't exist really outside of the experience. Smells, the tastes, the feelings, the thoughts. All of these things, you can experience them sitting here, arising and ceasing. And the fifth is vedana, feeling. So with the first four, we have a full description of experience, but this doesn't yet help us in terms of understanding why we suffer and how to become free from suffering, not completely. We're missing an important part, which is vedana, which is the feelings that arise, because we have to understand and appreciate how these things cause problems. The problems are not just from experiencing seeing or even from misunderstanding it. The problem comes from the experience of feeling. Now, feeling in and of itself isn't a problem, but we can notice that at the moment of experience or during the process of experience, there are feelings. There are pleasant feelings, there are unpleasant feelings, and there are neutral feelings in regards to all experiences. At the moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and feeling, there is no pleasant or unpleasant experience, not technically. Because the moment of seeing is not a painful or pleasant experience. It's too subtle for that. Light touching the eye doesn't cause pain or pleasure. Sound touching the ear, if it does cause pain, then that's not at the sound base. That's a physical thing. It can cause physical pain. I misspoke. The fifth one, the first four, There's only a neutral feeling, but at the body, there can be painful or pleasant feelings. So at the eye, the ear, the nose, and the tongue, there can't be pleasant or painful. If it's pleasant or painful, it means it's physical, because the sensitivity is not coarse enough. It's too subtle to have any kind of pain or pleasure. If the sound is very loud, it causes pain in your ears somehow, or feeling. Tastes on the tongue, but it's hot as well. The heat and the cold is the physical. It's not the taste. Taste can never be painful or pleasant. However, each of these four clearly and obviously and without needing to elaborate are a prime cause for the arising of pleasure and pain, mental pleasure and mental pain. The things that we see can be so attractive or so repulsive that they create great agitation and great suffering. Sounds can be so pleasant that they intoxicate us or entice us to do all sorts of good and bad deeds to acquire the things that we want to hear and want to see and so on. smells and tastes, how much effort we go to taste the things that we want to taste, the craving for tastes and the desire and the attraction to pleasant tastes, and how much suffering comes from tasting things that are unpleasant, food that we don't like, food that we have reactions to, of disliking. So the process of experience is still very much caught up in pleasant and painful feelings. But even with neutral feelings, for the most part we feel calm about things, but even our neutral feelings can lead to great suffering. We can feel neutral in regards to our views and our opinions. We may not be necessarily liking or disliking about them, but there can be great arrogance and conceit. There can be worry, there can be doubt. And so much suffering can come from delusion, which is often just a neutral feeling. Doubt is quite often associated with a neutral feeling, but causes great suffering as a result of not being able to choose, not being able to make decisions, not being able to do the things that are of benefit to us in our lives spiritually or in a worldly realm. Our arrogance and our conceit can be very neutral. Our pride, all of these things can be a great cause of suffering. So we take a moment to pay attention to the feelings that arise. The things that you see that are pleasant and unpleasant, and hear and smell and taste, and the feelings that arise in the mind. If you're mindful, you'll notice that with seeing, there's usually just a neutral feeling, hearing, smelling, tasting. Feeling on the body, there is often pleasure or pain. And of course in the mind, especially as the mind relates to the things that we see and hear and smell and taste and feel, there is quite often a disliking or an unpleasant feeling. There is a pleasant feeling, a feeling of pleasure, happiness at seeing such things. Living in the forest, we can be quite happy with the things that we see and hear because it's so peaceful. On the other hand, when we hear noises of construction or loud animals or people, it can be quite unpleasant. But of course, we're still missing the final part. This is five parts. The sixth part is the crucial part in terms of understanding how all of this causes problems. Because none of these are problems. None of these are a problem. Even the excruciating pain that we might feel in the body is not really a problem, let alone pleasant sights and sounds and smells and tastes and feelings. There's nothing wrong with pleasure, just as there's nothing wrong with pain. There's nothing wrong with beautiful things or ugly things. There's nothing wrong with delicious tastes or repulsive tastes. There's nothing wrong with any of this. None of this is truly the reason for our suffering. So the Buddha said the cause of suffering is in the sixth part. The sixth part is the six kinds of craving. The craving for things that we see, the craving in regards to things that we hear, smell, taste, feel, and think. So we can take a moment to pay attention to our senses and to see where there is craving, wanting something to be, wanting something to not be, or just the attraction to something beautiful or ugly, pleasant or unpleasant. This is where the real suffering arises. This is where all of our problems come from. Now, for most kinds of experience, there may not be any kind of attraction or repulsion, but there can be attraction or repulsion to the extrapolation of our experiences. So you see something and you see it as an object or a person, and maybe you like or dislike that person. So you're not actually attracted perhaps to the experience, but you're attracted to the idea. And so maybe you want to go to talk to the person, or maybe you're repulsed by them, you want to avoid them. That's not actually attachment to or craving for seeing. It's not an attachment necessarily to the I, but it's called bhava tanha or vibhava tanha. So there are three kinds of tanha. Tanha can be when you see something and you like it. You see something, you hear something and you like it, the attraction to it, the craving for it. But bhava tanha and vibhava tanha are conceptual, wanting something to be, wanting something not to be. So if you see a spider and you want it, you want to get rid of it, or you see mosquito or ants or so on, you want to get rid of them, or you see something or hear something and it makes you think of something that you want to get or acquire. You know, the distinction isn't really important. The important thing is that we can see that constantly this is where craving arises. Even for things, people and places and things, it still arises based on things that we see or hear or smell or taste or feel or think. At the very least, we have to think about something that we want. But quite often, it's simply triggered by something we see. We see something and it reminds us of the delicious taste of the food that we've eaten, and so we want to acquire that food. Or we see a person and it reminds us of something, an experience that we had, and it leads us to want to interact with that person or so on. We hear noises and quite often it's simply just liking the sights and the sounds or disliking them. Quite often it's the simple sensual attraction and aversion, which is so incessant in our lives. Even just sitting here, we can notice from time to time there will arise liking and disliking, at the very least of the physical sensations, having to sit still. There might be displeasure, wanting to change postures, a disliking of the experience. Or through intensive practice, we can find that we enjoy sitting, we enjoy the experience. We can find that we enjoy the sights and the sounds of nature. We find that when we eat, we enjoy the tastes that we encounter, tastes that we come into contact with through our experiences. And so this is where danger comes. Because the Buddha said that pleasure is enjoyable, and you have to understand that. You have to appreciate that it's something that's enjoyable. All the kinds of pleasure in the world, people wouldn't go after them if they weren't enjoyable. But this craving, the experience of enjoyable taste, isn't actually the problem, but the enjoying of it, in a colloquial way of speaking, means the craving for it, the liking of it, is a problem. It's not something that's ever satiated. It's not something that ever leads to true happiness. The happiness from sensual pleasure doesn't make you a happier person. It doesn't have a limit or an end or a conclusion. It's habit forming. So the more you give rise to wanting, the more you feed the and encourage the craving and the desire, the more it will arise in the future. The stronger it will arise. The more it will begin. The more it will come to consume your life. So the practice of the Buddha's teaching is not judging or avoiding, it's about understanding and paying attention. If we pay attention, we will see all of this. First of all, we will see experiences for what they are, but we will also see that our craving and our attachment for them, not only is it not warranted, but it's not fruitful, it's not beneficial, it's harmful. Our craving, our desire, our attachment, our seeking out of sensuality, our seeking out of experiences, are seeking out of anything. It's just a cause for stress and suffering. You don't have to judge or react or avoid in order to see that. If you pay attention, you'll come to see that it's not me who's seeing or hearing or smelling, it's just seeing that arises, and it's incessant and it's uncontrollable. And it's not that it's bad, it's not that seeing or hearing is per se bad, it's that it's meaningless. It's without any kind of value whatsoever. There's no value judgment as good or bad that you could give to it. It just is seeing. and it arises and it ceases. This was the Buddha's most concise teaching, that seeing should just be seeing, hearing should just be hearing, or what is seen should just be what is seen. If you can get to that point, you've come to really appreciate the truth of reality. You've come to rise above and pull yourself out of the muck of judgment and craving, the muck of liking and disliking, of delusion and ignorance, into the light and the purity and the clarity of wisdom. Doesn't mean rejecting anything, it just means understanding. The only thing that you end up rejecting, but you reject through wisdom, is the craving. So you still see and hear and smell and taste and feel and think all the same sorts of things. The only thing that you free yourself from as a result of wisdom is from the desire or aversion or the reactions to things as being more than they actually are. So this is how our practice approaches the nature of reality, not as something mysterious or esoteric, just as something quite simple, trying to appreciate the simplicity of reality. Reality is just seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and feeling and thinking, the six sixes, the six aspects of the six senses, as they relate to the experience and our reactions to experience, and ultimately the suffering that comes from our attachment to experiences and our fussing and needing for experiences to be in a certain way, based on our ignorance about the way things actually are and how uncontrollable and in a way impersonal experiences are. Not exactly impersonal, but only what they are. Seeing is just seeing, hearing is just hearing. There's not much you can say about it. And that's the point. As we start to say more and more that this, what I see is this and that and the other thing, hear and smell, this is where we create so much, the majority of our world as humans, our world as living beings, is conceptual, is proliferation, is extrapolation on very simple things. So the Buddha's essence of the Buddha's teaching was about bringing us back to this simple nature of reality. And this is what the four foundations of mind, four satipatthana, are designed to do. As we pay attention, when we say to ourselves, we see something, and we say to ourselves, seeing, we're reminding ourselves, hey, that's not you or yours or this or that, that's just seeing. It's not good, it's not bad. Helping us, directing us in the towards the true experience of true understanding of reality and experience as it is. So an important teaching, something very simple that really, it may seem that there's not a lot to say about it, but we have to emphasize the importance of the six senses, not as something that you weren't aware of. Everyone knows that we have seeing and hearing, but we think of it as me and mine, and we make so much out of it that it's just, maybe it's just a part of who I am. It's I who sees and I who hears. So we have to point out, no, the six types of experience are really all that there is. A being and self or so on is irrelevant or is superfluous, is erroneous, is not a part of reality. It's not a question of whether there is or isn't a self. I don't mean to avoid the topic, but it's not a good way to approach it. We have to put aside such ideas because they're just conceptual, ideas of self and soul, and focus on what's real. We don't have to have some philosophical idea about the self or the soul or something, or the lack of the self or soul. What we have to do is pay attention to experience and understand that craving is the cause of suffering, not our experiences. We don't have to reject them. We have to understand them. And through understanding seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and feeling and thinking, we will truly, to that extent, become free from suffering, and there's nothing external or outside of that that we have to pay attention to. And on an ultimate level, the six senses are enough, and paying attention to them based on our practice of the four satipatthana is enough. So that's the Dhamma for today. Thank you for listening.